Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together, and let us consider now verse 4. Proverbs 8 at verse 4. And to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. And to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Well, it is wisdom that is speaking. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And wisdom is speaking at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door, perhaps one of the places where an audience would be found. And who is she speaking to? Well, you have to say, wisdom is speaking to everyone. Whoever will listen. It's not to some select category. It's to anyone who is ready to hear. And that's how wisdom is speaking now. It's not to those who are good people exclusively. But wisdom is speaking. The Son of God is speaking. Christ Jesus is speaking. Offering salvation, full and free, to everyone who will listen. Speaking to everyone present here, who are hearing me this evening. And there's the message of salvation. There's the free offer of the gospel going out to everyone who will hear. And so, let us try to say something somewhat briefly about the fact that it is one called wisdom that is calling. Secondly, we will try to say something about what wisdom says. And then, in the third place, we will try to notice to whom wisdom's words are addressed. So we have, who is it that calls? Second, what does wisdom say? Third, to whom does he speak? Well, first of all, and this was mentioned on Thursday evening when we tried to speak on verse 6 about the excellence things that wisdom is declaring. It's wisdom then. Doth not wisdom cry? Verse 1, as I've quoted that already. And that means that wisdom here is a person. Not just a quality. You could say that Paul, for instance, was a wise man. That Solomon had the quality of wisdom. There is more to it here. It's a person who has taken the name of wisdom. And that's because this person is altogether wise. And where can you find a person who is altogether wise? If you go searching around this world, you will find people who are wise and sensible, whatever word you want to use, but never perfectly so. There's always defects in what might be regarded as whist. Always defects. But if we look, as it were, up to heaven, put it like this, if we look into the revelation of Scripture, we can find a person who is perfectly wise. And that person is eternal. You find her in this person saying at verse 23, I was set up from everlasting. Here is one who had no beginning and one who will have no end. Is that a person to be found in this world? Well, depends how you understand the question I have asked. But this is something shoot. If we are to find this person, we must find him in this world. And you could say, the Son of God came into this world that sinners might find him. He came into this world to find sinners. And he has gone up to heaven that from there he might find sinners. Oh, how much it should be our desire that Christ would find us. I've been referring a few times recently to the good shepherd going out to find sheep. And he came down to this world, you might say, that he might find sheep. And though he is in heaven now, he is going out to find sheep through the word, that he might bring them in. He has made in He has provided redemption for them. He has done all that was necessary for their salvation. And he, from the throne of heaven, is going out in connection with the preachers of the gospel, going out as the good shepherd to find poor, lost, needy sheep. And he comes when the gospel is preached. He comes to the places of public worship in particular, where the gospel is preached, where Christ is truly set forth. I don't mean perfectly set forth. That will never be in this world. And yet, let me qualify that. If you go back to the gospel, you can find Christ in this world, and he is preaching perfect sermons. And still, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And yet, he comes to work by the Holy Spirit. He comes by divine power. He comes wherein perfect sermons are preached. But in these sermons, you would expect that there would be quotations from Scripture. And I'm inclined to believe that in the preaching of the gospel, it's particularly his own word that is applied to sinners. It's in a context, of course, a context of explanation and a context of application. Well, there's one that is called wisdom. He is described as the Word. You have that in John's Gospel, and in particular at the beginning of John's Gospel. What wonderful words these are that The Apostle John was inspired to write, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is wisdom. The same person as we have speaking in our chapter. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He is a divine person. But not the same person as the Father, and not the same person as the Holy Spirit. He was with God the Father. He was God. He is God. Before ever the earth was, as you have that expression in our chapter, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, wisdom is being proclaimed. Wisdom is proclaiming himself in the darkness of this world. Yes. How wonderful. This divine person took human nature. He took flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Son of God, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what's the use of a proclamation of wisdom if it's not truth? If it's merely human wisdom, might be useful, but more is needed. More is needed. It must be perfect truth in the revelation, in the wonderful revelation to foolish, ignorant sinners. Let me emphasize the word. That's what we need to recognize about ourselves, and that's the beginning of wisdom, perhaps we can say, though that is otherwise defined in Scripture also. But there's a beginning of wisdom when one learns about being a sinner. It's through the revelation from above that we find out that we are sinners. Ah, yes, we might know it by the kind of education that we get in families where the Lord's people are those who feel a conscience about not leaving their children altogether ignorant about spiritual things. Children will learn that they are sinners. Yes. Oh, how much, though, we need wisdom to speak to. Not only about the fact of our sinnership, but about the fact also that there is a Savior. And this is the Savior. It is according to the wisdom of the only wise God. The only wise God being a quotation from 1 Timothy 1. But you see, Paul has just said, This is a faithful say, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul speaking as an ambassador, sent by wisdom, that sinners would learn what they are, what they need, and that he is the one and only provider of what sinners need. He came into this world and he did a great work. Oh, let us go back again and again to the scriptures, which declare the truth about wisdom. Yes, let us keep going back and be asking that the Lord would bless us in going to the scriptures, and bless us in what we learn from the scriptures, that we would get good from it, that we would be made wise. Yes. And we might just notice what is said in this chapter about his delights, wisdom's delights, my delights, where with the sons of men, verse 31. Well, that's the one that is speaking. Wisdom is speaking. Are we listening? That's a big question. But if we're listening to some extent, are we listening without a whole heart? Are we praying, feeling our need, that we are insufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves or from ourselves? Yes. Where's the source of instruction? Oh, it's from above. Let us not be satisfied, though thankful for any teaching that is according to truth, but let us not be satisfied with the things of God if we are not taught from above. How much we need the Holy Spirit taking of the things that are Christ's and revealing them to us. Yes. Well, what is wisdom saying? What is wisdom saying? Well, I'm going to quote from Isaiah 61, which was in the passage, if I'm not mistaken, that the Savior read in the synagogue of Nazareth, and his remarks were not appreciated. You see, that's the danger, that when the Savior speaks, when wisdom speaks, sinners hearing them do not feel comfortable with them. They disturb their peace. It's a dangerous peace. Oh, the danger of having the kind of attitude to the Word of God that people had in the synagogue in Nazareth. Yes. But still, while there will be many a soul in public worship, or was at some time today, around the world, throughout this country, and a significant percentage of them, a varying percentage of them, will not appreciate the words of wisdom. They will not appreciate what is said. Just as these words were not taken seriously. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and so on. Yes. What an announcement. Would they not have been wise to have listened to the wisdom saying to them, this is who I am. This is who I am. And would we not be wise to listen to the one who is speaking to us this evening? I'm not referring to the preacher, except, of course, as the preacher relays the truth. The wisdom that comes from the one with the Holy Spirit without measure. The one therefore was anointed to preach good tidings. The gospel. Good news. Good news to a lost world. That's what we have. Yes. We might be interested enough to hear news, national news or family news or whatever it might be. Are we anxious to hear good news from heaven? Are we anxious to hear news which is full of wisdom? What we really, really need to hear and to have it applied to our souls by the Holy Spirit. Yes. You see, Christ comes. You might have the words often repeated. What Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. And that surely applies particularly to public worship. Are we not to say, are we not to acknowledge wisdom is here? There are two or three, well, I'm sure this evening, far more, far, far more, who are met together consciously in the name of Christ. And therefore, he is with us and he is speaking. And it was quoted, I think, today in connection with Samuel, taught by Eli to reply to the voice of God, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Well, that's how we should be. Wisdom is present. We cannot see him. He is here through his divine nature. We should believe that he is present. And we should be saying, "Speak, Lord." Perhaps that's as far as we can go. "Speak, Lord." But even if some things like that are too high, you feel, for yourself to use, turn it into a prayer. "Speak, Lord, and make me listen from my very heart to what thou hast to say." Yes, "Speak, Lord." When I'm gathered with all these people, many of whom have found thee already, "Speak to me, that I would have the same new heart as they have been given, and that I would be prepared for eternity, and that I would be enabled to go along the narrow way that leads to everlasting life, that I would find that path that the people of God have already been led onto, and that I would be led on till I'm brought to the city of habitation, that I would be led on to the city of habitation." Where else would we go? Where else would we wish to go? Surely not to a lost eternity. The people are taking, well, I put it like this, taking big risks with their souls, making the most, as they might think of it, of their opportunities to find pleasure in worldly things, in sinful things, but neglecting opportunities to find Christ, to find wisdom, But what does he say? Well, there's Christ, for instance, and I've quoted these words already, proclaiming liberty to the captives, proclaiming freedom to those who are bound in Satan's prison. And when people think they have liberty, and they're making the most of their opportunities to sin, they're in fact bound in Satan's prison. And Satan is leading them on, doing their utmost to bring them down to a lost eternity. Have you thought about that? If you are making the most of your opportunities to find entertainment. But what's wrong with that, you might ask? Ah, well, to say the very least, you're wasting opportunities to find Christ. You're wasting opportunities to find Christ. And you're hardening your heart in the face of wisdom. Wisdom is coming where you are. Wisdom is making himself known in the preaching of the gospel. Are you trying to listen as hard as you can? Are you trying to pray that the Lord would bless you? That the Lord would apply the truth to you? That the Lord would make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes. And let us notice what is being spoken according to the will of the good shepherd, according to the will of Christ. I'm in 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul says, we preach Christ. Yes, that's true. But there's more than that to it. We preach Christ crucified. The preaching that will be blessed is not just about Christ. It's about Christ crucified. Given over into the hands of sinful men, but delivered according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Yes, and according to his own foreknowledge, and according to his own determinate purpose. Yes, for he came into the world to save sinners by the one sacrifice of himself. He came into this world that he might take upon him the sins of a multitude that no one can number, and that he might give himself up to death in the place of sinners. Yes, we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block. That's what they were tripping over. And in the end, stumbling down into a lost eternity, see that you will not stumble on the truth and go down to a lost eternity. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or the Gentiles foolishness. If the typical Indonesian was to stop at the door and be able to hear what was said from inside, would he go away marveling at the wisdom of what was being proclaimed? Well, if the Lord was to apply what he heard, he would. But in most cases, sadly and solemnly, that's not how he would be. To the Gentiles, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. How foolish this message is. Because people are taken up with their own whist, which is not whist. They are taken up with their own ideas. Yes. And then there's one of these welcome buts. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power of God, there's power that can accompany the truth of God's word. That's what we need. That power, purchased by Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit to apply the truth to us in our soul. And his own wisdom coming with power to us in our soul. That's the blessing. The one who has wisdom proclaiming the truth and it's applied by the Holy Spirit and there's a positive result. A sinner is born again. A sinner hears the gospel, the good news. A sinner believes the gospel through this power, divine power. And it receives it as grist. It's just what he needs. It's just what she needs. Exactly what people need. Yes, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what we need. And the one who is wisdom is bringing these things before us. Yes. And then again, we might go back to the first chapter of this book where the questions are asked, or the question is asked, how long, ye simple ones, you who are lacking wisdom, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? How long will you go on in the love of foolishness? With your foolish way of life, your determination to forget God because you think to find true religion, and it is true religion, will leave you without feeling free to go on in sin. That you will have to be holy, and that's not a pleasant prospect. But wisdom tells you that it should be. Wisdom tells you that it should be what you would desire. And then there's this, turn you at my reproof. And we could say it's wisdom that is speaking there. And I'm reproving you, wisdom says. Turn you. Turn when you are reproved. Do not push it away from you. I don't want to hear that. I want to go on in my own ways. Turn. Turn away from sin and the love of sin. Turn to what is said before you. By Christ himself, yes, and relayed to you by the ambassadors of Christ, relayed to you by the ambassadors of Christ. But you see, behind all that the ambassadors say, sometimes better, sometimes less good it may be. But, you see, they speak, or at least they should be speaking, by command of Christ, that it might be, and I think, well, it's not that I think, something along these lines was brought up already, that those who preach the gospel to us are sinners like ourselves. Saved sinners they ought to be. And if they are truly called by God's grace, they have been saved. They have listened to divine wisdom. Yes. And just to go back to Thursday evening's text, the call comes, verse 6, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For it is Christ that is speaking, it is wisdom that is speaking." He's speaking of excellent things, and how excellent these things about salvation, how excellent these warnings about sin and the consequences of sin are to sinners. How excellent. Yes, and how right. The exact truth, the truth that we need. Let us be listened. Let us plead with the Lord to keep us listening. That we would not lose interest before the sermon is over, because it's an ambassador for Christ that is speaking. The ambassador may have no authority of his own, but he is given an authority when he speaks in the name of Christ, when he speaks in the name of wisdom. Yes, he says, "Receive my instruction and not silver." Verse 10. "And knowledge rather than choice gold." It's not that we're to despise silver and gold in their own places. Why do people go out to work? They go out because they need money to buy the articles that they need in their home and for their person. But you see, the point is, put them in order of importance. And you've got wisdom. You've got spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom and spiritual knowledge. That's at one end of the scale. Or perhaps it's on its own. And under that, there is silver and gold and what these things can buy. Even the good things for this temporal life. We can't do without money in this society. But you see, that's not to satisfy us. And that's what Christ is setting before us here. We need salvation. We need to be delivered from the wrath to come. We need to lay hold on eternal life. Yes. But I want to give particular attention to the particular words of our text. And that comes under this heading. To whom is wisdom speaking? And the answer is, "And to you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of man, male and female, old and young, no matter what color, no matter what level of education, no matter what occupation." Yes. Wisdom is speaking to everyone. That's the thing. To whom does the gospel come? It comes to sinners of every age, sinners of every kind, sinners of every geographical location. That's not the point. Where we live, when we live, is this. That Christ is speaking, and he is speaking to us. Christ is speaking to us. That's the command that goes out to the ambassadors when they had given their commission. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes. And what are they to say? Are they to come to people and say, if you're good, if you pass a certain level of goodness, here's a gracious gospel message for you. Is the ambassador to say, if you have a certain level of knowledge, knowledge of the Bible, here is the good news. But though it should be the first time an individual hears the gospel, the Lord is able to apply the truth to a person's soul. What I have in mind particularly is this, that you're not to be setting up standards for yourself as to who can be saved. It's not that you can be saved or someone else can be saved if you pass some kind of standard in your way of life, in your knowledge. In your knowledge of the Bible in particular. If you're coming to church absolutely regularly. And I'm not, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can afford to be careless about coming to hear Christ's ambassadors. By no means. There was a case in a London church 150 years ago perhaps, and somebody sitting in a particular seat was converted under the preach, and the comment was made whether the person that usually sat in that seat was absent for good reason or otherwise. It was rather implying that he should have been there. I'm not sure that that was the case. But you see, the point was, the usual person in that seat wasn't there to get a blessing. But the one that came and sat in that seat got a blessing. We can never afford to say, I'm just going to stay at home this morning. I'm so terribly tired. You might miss the blessing. You might lose the opportunity of having the word applied to your soul. You might have some other excuse. Of course, people may have good reason to absent themselves from public worship. But you see, this is the point. We should be making the most of our opportunities. Making the most of our opportunity to hear the gospel. Making the most of our opportunities to read the Bible. Making the most of our opportunities to pray. Should we not, as we go about our daily business, be asking the Lord to keep us from being tempted to sin? To think careless thoughts, to be distracted from the great need we have in our souls. Yes, we should be praying. We're told we should be praying without ceasing. Perhaps we're not able to pray as continuously as that. There may be duties in this life that require our whole attention. That's not the point, really. The point is to make the use, the best use, of our opportunities. Yes. The gospel is addressed to everyone. And when I quote these words from wisdom, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Have you a desire for the gospel to be applied to your souls? Don't start asking irrelevant questions. Irrelevant at least for the present moment. Am I among those who are elected? We don't need to know that. You see, this is the point. The gospel is not addressed to elect sinners. As elect sinners. The gospel is addressed to sinners. The gospel is addressed this evening to everyone who is in this place of worship. Do they know the word of God off by heart, let us say? That's not a relevant point, though that would be good. Do we know every last intricacy of every last doctrine that there is in the Word of God? How much good is that if people will consistently turn their back on the Word of God, and in particular, turn their back on the call of the gospel? You see, unto you, O men, men are human beings. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Now, basically, that's repeating it. But when you get repetition like that in the Word of God, you can be pretty sure it's there for emphasis. What I'm trying to say is, don't be looking for some qualification that would make you fit to be converted. The qualifications are not in you. They are in Christ and what he did. Yes, this is the thing. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. Don't try to go beyond that. Don't try to get round that. The gospel is for sinners. The good news of salvation is for sinners. That is, people like ourselves. No righteousness of our own. We need salvation because we are sinners. And it's for sinners the gospel is provided. That's the thing. The Lord has made provision. Provided a way of salvation. Take it, sinner. Do not turn away. Do not tell yourself. Perhaps the devil is busy telling you that you need to prepare yourself for salvation. Well, there may be a sense in which that is true, but taking the words in their simplicity, whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you have been, The good news of salvation is addressed to you as a sinner. What did it matter, in a sense, what the background of the jailer in Philippi was? What did it matter how he had spent that day? What did it matter what sins he had committed? Now, I don't want to push that too far. It did matter. But as far as getting a blessing for his soul, that wasn't the point. Not at all. What did the apostles, sent out by wisdom, taught to preach by himself, led on in a right way? Perhaps these words just dropped into their minds. Where did they come from? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They felt they were appropriate to the man's condition. What did he know about believing? What did he know about the Lord Jesus Christ? What did he know about salvation except that he had used the word, what must I do to be saved? Ah, but they went on to teach. Yes. But here was the center of the matter. This was the center of the matter. That he would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace he did. Yes. We've got to be altogether dependent on the grace of God. It's the grace of God that sent Christ into the world. It's the grace of God that sends the Holy Spirit to a particular person to apply the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit came to that man who was rescued from destroying himself, putting an end to his life, but he was rescued. And he was disturbed in his soul. What a blessed disturbance. And the man asked, conscious of some kind of need at least, what must I do to be saved? And he's directed away from himself. He's directed to this. His need to believe on the one who had come into the world to give his life a ransom for many. Yes. Now, see the promise that there is at verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Young people, children, take that away with you. Look at verse 17 and see if you can memorize it. Wisdom is speaking particularly to you just now. Those that seek me early shall find me. Early in life just now. But whatever age you are, though you are well on in years, those that seek the Saviour early, those that seek the Saviour soon will find. Do not give up seeking the Saviour. Listen to what wisdom is saying in this chapter. Take another read through this chapter. They're the words of Christ, the words of the Son of God. And he is saying, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Or again at verse 32, now therefore, hearken unto me, listen unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit working in your soul, you will be blessed. If you begin here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Yes, young people, children, here is something specially for you. Christ himself is the Son of God. Always. He has been speaking. He has been speaking throughout Old Testament times. He is speaking during all New Testament times. It's all there in the Word of God, what he has to say to people of our time, children of our time, as well as grown-ups. Yes. Let me leave you with this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou, you as an individual, you will be saved. And what a wonderful thing that will be, that you would have Christ as your Savior, to keep you, to care for you, to bring you safely along the way to heaven, and to bring you into that blessed condition forever and ever. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. We are needy. Oh, may the Savior speak to us individually. Save us from our foolishness. Save us from our rebellion. Put thine hand, as it were, upon our shoulder. Put thine hand in our hands, the hands of our souls, and lead us on to thyself. Draw us by almighty power. Make us willing to come to thee. Make us willing to look to thee. Make us willing to trust in thee. Make us willing to receive the good news. The good news of salvation for lost sinners. May we not be looking for qualifications in ourselves, but grant thy blessing. Look upon every unconverted sinner here and make them willing in a day of thy power. And may this be a day of thy power. Oh, that multitudes would be brought to thyself throughout the world, Jew and Gentile, to be brought to thee, and sinners to be delivered from false religion, from an absence of religion, from carelessness under the truth. Ah, Lord, look in mercy upon us. Work thou powerfully in our souls. Draw us by thy grace, and wash away our sin. Bless everything done at this communion season. Bless the preaching already today. Bless the sacrament of the supper. Oh, Lord, that we would be brought into a living fellowship with thyself. Each of us, young and old, have mercy, Lord. Come in infinite mercy to this lost generation and to us here, who know something of the truth. May we get a saving knowledge of the truth. Be with us, go before us and bless us. Keep us from evil. May we be in submission to thee. Wash away all our sin. Make us holy. For Jesus' sake, amen.